Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
You know what's better than scoring 4 runs against the Detroit Tigers?
What's that?
Scoring 3 runs against the Detroit Tigers. And to top that off, your opening day starter, who had just come back from the IL, is now back on said IL with a different injury. I love being a Cardinal fan. It's so great. Today's just been so great, and I'm being sarcastic in saying this, of course. What I just had to deal with for the last 2 hours, I would not wish upon my worst enemy. Whether you'd be a Cub fan, an Eagle fan, a Celtics fan, no offense, a Blackhawks fan, whatever. I would not wish that on you at all, what I just had to go through for the past 2 hours. And last night, Logan, I was already getting mad. Like, right before I go to bed. You're not supposed to do that. It's not healthy for you to go to bed mad. But I did. You know why? Right before I went to bed, it was around 7:30-ish. The game had just started between the Tigers and the Cubs. Tigers and the Cardinals. And 4-0 was the score already in the game. And I'm thinking, man, Jack Flaherty just had an off night, you know. It happens. Everybody has off nights. We have off podcasts, you know. It happens to the best of us. We're human. I went to bed and I said, you know what? I hope I wake up tomorrow morning and the score's 4-0. I hope they get shut out by the Tigers. Wake up at my usual time, 4 a.m. I know, very normal. And Cardinals lost, of course, because they're the Cardinals. And they lost 4-3. Which made me even more upset than what I was whenever I went to bed when they were down 4-0. So I wake up mad. I work out mad, which is good. Gives you more motivated, makes you do that extra rep, that extra, you know, sprint, you know, wherever. Then I come here and all my energy is just sucked out of me from what I've had to deal with for the past 2 hours, and I'm not going to go into details what it was. Just sucked out the energy, and while that was going on, I got the news that Jack Flaherty is now on the IL, or the DL, or whatever it's called now. It'd be like that sometimes, I get it, man, but when it is like that, it's frustrating, it's annoying, it's infuriating, it's name synonym for upset, for mad, it's just... I'm so over it, dude. And it's only Wednesday. I wish it was Friday, dude. I want it to be the weekend. Ugh. I'm ready to watch football, ready to watch college football, broadcast high school football, and not have to listen and watch to the train wreck that is St. Louis Cardinal baseball. Bunch of frauds. I saw it today. I was looking at tickets just because I want to see how low the ticket prices are. Because usually, like, Wednesday afternoon games are the cheapest. Cheapest ticket I found was for $2. 8 quarters could get you into a Cardinal game. Tell you what, I'd rather have 8 quarters than watch the Cardinals play. If they're going to play like this against the Tigers and teams that they should beat. So over it.
8 quarters. I love that. I love that you brought that analogy into it.
8 quarters. Give 20 dimes. Yeah, like, who knows, dude? Yeah, I just thought of that analogy because, you know, I bet you 8 quarters in the lineup could hit better than, say, Paul DeJong or Harrison Bader or insert name Nolan Arenado. He's had a terrible year this year compared to his past years. But then again, you go into St. Louis and underachieving, it's kind of a trend that's been set now for the past, 4 or 5 years. So, anyway, let me get off my soapbox now. I'm so high up I could be at the top of Mount Everest or the Empire State Building. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast. The always infuriated Cardinal fan Matthew Rizzo here alongside Logan Weber. Before we get any further into baseball talk, a couple of big headlines from the football scene. I saw earlier this morning, Stoney Michel, former Patriots running back, now traded to Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Rams. So they have their new running back. And then, of course, there's been a quarterback battle going on between, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville. And before we get to that, by the way, I drafted their first-round pick, Travis Etienne. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Etienne.
I drafted his. I drafted him in fantasy, so you know that's how I'm also feeling, because he's now out for the season, which is pretty typical for guys that I draft in fantasy. They either get injured by week six, or they play a full season. There's no in between. Well, now he's gone for the full season, which is just fantastic. I'm glad I wasted a pick on him. But digressing here, Jacksonville has now named Trevor Lawrence their starting quarterback in week number one.
Yeah, and you know you mentioned. I have a specific story when it comes to that sort of thing. I drafted Tom Brady with the number 3 overall pick the year that he blew his knee out, like week 2 of the season.
You were playing fantasy football that early on?
Yeah, I was 10, 11 years old. I was 5th grader, 6th grader. And I got last in my league, and then the next year I got the number 1 overall pick and got Adrian Peterson, and that was the year that AP ran for like 2,000 yards. So I had a chance to win my fantasy championship. And I was actually winning. I was up by like 3 points. I had the game locked up. Adrian Peterson broke one late and looked like he was going to go down and score. DB came out from behind him and punched the ball loose, and he fumbled. Minus 6 points, and I lost. Jeez. Just one of those things. I don't have a ton of luck.
So heartbreaking.
When it comes to fantasy football. And, you know, my league this year, we are having our fantasy football draft this Friday. August 27th at 7 o'clock. Well, I will be in Skyline doing play-by-play Friday at 7 o'clock, so I won't be able to draft my own fantasy league. So
let's be honest here, dude. The dude that gets auto-drafted wins the damn league. Let's be honest
here.
You're going to win. Don't worry about it. I can draft a team that can be ranked like number one in like PPF or whatever they use to rank teams or whatever. I can draft the best team in the league and still lose to the dude that just auto-picked. That wasn't at the draft. That's the beauty of fantasy football. I should just auto-draft from now on. Like, not even be there. I've got one more league to be in, which is actually a little bit of a cha-ching league. You got to pay $50 to get in.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's with 9 guys as well. So the prize pool money, it's pretty nice.
That's decent amount
but
of change.
I should just find out, like, what day it is, what time it is, and legitimately do something else totally different at that time and let auto-draft pick my team. Because they'll do a better job of drafting than I will.
They might. But... I like what the Rams were able to do in getting Sony Michel. Sony Michel put up good numbers in his first 2 years in New England, but he was sort of underused. I mean, you know how Bill Belichick runs that offense. It seemed like there was just this sort of revolving door of running backs. They were utilizing 2 or 3 backs a game, it seemed like. I mean, his best year was in his rookie year. He only played in 13 games. And that was the most he was used. He had 209 carries in 13 games. He only started 8. But he had 931 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. He averaged 4.5 yards a carry. And, you know, that's something that the Rams are bringing him in. Now, they have some other guys. They have Cam Akers. But I think Sony Michel is going to be sort of a workhorse running back for the Los Angeles Rams. And I think he could pay big dividends for them. He could be a 1,200, 1,400 yard a season guy. If he's healthy, if he plays the whole season, he only played 9 games last year. And the news about Trevor Lawrence being announced as the starter for the Jaguars, I don't think should come as a surprise to anyone. He was the number 1 overall pick. And yes, I know that there's a lot of people that are on the Gardner Minshew bandwagon because he has a super ugly mustache and mullet. And people think that that's funny. And so, right.
And a very livid personality.
Yeah,
very colorful.
He wears jorts to practice and his American flag bandana. And, you know, he looks homeless. But he does. I'm sorry. He does. It's just one of those things. But he was not great last season. You know, he came out as a rookie in 2019 and he started 12 games, 21 touchdowns, 6 picks. And people were really excited by his prospect. He went 6-6 in 12 starts. Well, last season he started 8 games and went 1-7. He completed 66% of his passes, but in 8 starts, he only had 16 touchdowns.
That's two touchdowns a game for a league that throws the ball a lot. I mean, usually guys are throwing for, on average, 2.5, up to 3 touchdowns a game. I mean, it's a league that is a pass-happy league. Now, 66% completion percentage is pretty good. But 16 touchdowns to 5 picks. He averaged 6.9 yards per attempt. His quarterback rating was better. He was sacked 27 times in 8 games. You know that he's not a guy that can be... He's not the kind of guy that is going to be an all-pro, a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. He's just not. He is a average to above-average quarterback. Well, Trevor Lawrence is probably the best quarterback prospect we've seen come into the NFL since Andrew Luck. And we all know Andrew Luck was said to be the best quarterback prospect coming into the NFL since Peyton Manning. So, the expectations are very, very high for Trevor Lawrence. And frankly, I think Gardner Minshew should be the number 3 quarterback. And maybe there's a little bit of bias there, but the way that C.J. Beathard has performed, yes, former Iowa Hawkeye quarterback, I understand that, blah, blah, blah.
Total bias.
He's got a 95 Pro Football Focus rating in the preseason so far, which is the highest among any active quarterback in the preseason this year. He has been really, really good in the preseason. And is that an indication of how he could perform in the regular season? No. But C.J. Beathard has proven that he is an NFL quarterback. Maybe a good backup, right? Yes, he is a Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick type of guy, right? He's a career backup. That's just the way he is. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick has the whole Fitzmagic thing where he goes off for 3 or 4 games a year, has given him a shot to be a starter for a particular team. He's been a starter in Miami, a starter in New York. He is now a starter. They say he will be the starter in Washington, which I don't know why he wouldn't be. You don't really have another option.
Yeah, Taylor Heineke, and that's about it.
Yeah, you let go of Alex Smith. You got rid of Dwayne Haskins before you even really gave the guy a chance. I don't understand the Redskins philosophy or the football team's philosophy whatsoever. It makes no sense. It's a very, very poorly run franchise from an organization perspective.
We just got flagged for inappropriate use of terms.
From their owner, Snyder. I don't know his first name. He's a joke.
Quinn Snyder, I think, is what it
is. No, Quinn Snyder's the head coach of the Utah Jazz.
No.
And was the former head coach of the Mizzou Tigers.
Dan Snyder, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think it's Dan
Quinn Snyder.
Snyder,
yeah. All right, two different sports.
From Dan Snyder, the owner of the football team. Jeez, come on, Logan, be better. All the way down the front office. Now, I do like Ron Rivera. I think Ron Rivera is a great coach.
Yeah.
He's more of a defensive guy. Has been throughout his coaching tenure. He was a defensive coordinator, obviously. So he's definitely a defensive-minded coach. But he had a ton of success in Carolina. He was a part of that. You know, he was the head coach when Cam was the MVP. Mm-hmm. When Cam Newton was who we all thought he could be. I don't know if Cam Newton can be that guy anymore.
You won't.
And now you're putting a lot more pressure on him and possibly Mac Jones if you're Bill Belichick by getting rid of Sony Michel, by trading him away. For almost nothing, because the trade market in the NFL makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
I mean, the trade market between the NFL and the NBA is outrageous. I mean, like, you can trade for an all-pro player in the NFL for, like, a 5th or a 6th round pick. Makes no sense. Versus the NBA, where if you want to trade for an all-NBA guy, you're going to have to give up 2-3 first-round picks and 2 or 3 second-round picks and then throw in a couple of veterans. Like, it makes no sense. The trade market is so flawed in the NFL that it boggles my mind. But I'm not surprised at all that the Jaguars go with Trevor Lawrence. He is the future of that franchise. You pair him with a first-year head coach in Urban Meyer who had a ton of success in college. Will it translate to the NFL? I don't know.
We'll see.
College coaches haven't had a lot of success in the NFL. Pete Carroll was a guy that had a lot of success in the NFL. Okay, but Nick Saban didn't. Mm-mm. You know, you can go down the list of guys that have gone from college to the NFL. Matt Rhule is a guy that was a head coach at Baylor that's now the head coach for the Carolina Panthers. Who knows what's going to happen there? He's going in now with Sam Darnold, trying to give him a second shot, right?
I feel like he's going in the right direction, second chance. Matt Rhule is.
Yeah, I think so,
Carolina
too.
Carolina showed some promise last year.
They've drafted well. They've got an up-and-coming defense, for sure. It's a very young team. They've got some pieces on the edge. They signed Robbie Anderson a couple of years ago, who's a good up-and-coming receiver in the NFL. So there is something to be said there. They've got a ton of faith in Sam Darnold, which is more than can be said for the New York Jets, which is a franchise that has so many expectations for a team that hasn't had any success since freaking Joe Namath was their quarterback.
They're the Knicks of the NFL.
Yeah, it's just New York. I mean, that's just sort of how it is. I mean, like the New York Giants, at least they've had success recently. And even they're giving Daniel Jones a bigger leash than the Jets gave Sam Darnold. It just doesn't make any sense where the Jets' thought process is. I mean, I think that, like, is it just, like, the worst fans in New York are Jets fans? The most impatient, irrational fans in New York are Jets fans? I don't understand
that.
Not
about describes New York, though, their fan base, just with all sports.
Well, yeah, I completely understand that. I mean, my cousin played for the New York Giants for 7 seasons. I mean, if they lost the game, if you went on social media, I mean, I was 10 years old and just mortified by what I was seeing from New York Giants Twitter. But it's just, some teams are moving in the right direction, and I think the Jaguars going with Trevor Lawrence makes sense. I personally, now maybe it's because I'm a Chiefs fan, and I saw what happened with Alex Smith versus Mahomes, and how Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith for a year was able to help his development, and what it's done for the Chiefs. I mean, you've now gone to 3 straight AFC Championship games, back-to-back Super Bowls, and you've won a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes being able to sit behind Alex Smith for a year and learn from a good quarterback. He's not a Hall of Famer. Alex Smith, no, not a Hall of Famer, but he was a good quarterback, especially in Kansas City. So I think that teams need to start looking in that direction as well. I think that you should see the Patriots should do that with Mac Jones and Cam Newton. You should do that. I don't know if they're going to. The New England Patriots fan base is, due to the success that they've had over the last 20 or so seasons, they are impatient. You know, they missed the playoffs last year, and it seemed like the entire organization was up in arms. I mean, people were calling for Bill Belichick's job. I mean, what are you talking about?
Boston, I can't tell what's worse, Boston or New York fans. There's just a bunch of bickering that goes on there.
I mean, I don't think Celtics fans are that bad. I mean, if Celtics fans were as bad as Patriot fans were, Brad Stevens would be out of a job.
That's true.
And yeah, I think Brad Stevens is a great coach, and I think he's going to be a great GM.
Celtics get a pass there, but like Bruins fans, Red Sox fans, Patriots fans.
Oh, I don't follow hockey, so I have no idea what Bruins fans are like.
The Blues and the Bruins played in a Stanley Cup final 2 years ago in 2019, and God, the Bruins fans are ugh. But yeah,
Boston sports fans, Beantown, man, they love to win, and they do win a lot.
Yeah, they do. So yeah, they're kind of just expecting, kind of like how.
But I think
I'm a salty Cardinal fan.
I think that the NFL needs, and they are, to a certain extent, trending more in that direction. I think that's why the Packers drafted Jordan Love a couple of years ago, was to allow him to sit behind Aaron Rodgers. Now, they did the same thing, drafting Aaron Rodgers to sit behind Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
And both times,
it's worked.
It worked for Rodgers and Favre, but Favre got pissed about it. And then Rodgers got pissed about Jordan Love. You have to find guys that are okay with that. Alex Smith was okay from what we can see in the media. Now, he might have been upset, as naturally anybody would be playing at that level. You're going to be like, well, you're going to draft another guy? Like, I'm putting up good numbers. We're making the playoffs. But he was willing to help Mahomes and willing to let Mahomes learn from him and go under his tutelage, and it panned out really well. Mahomes is an MVP guy. He is, in my opinion, the second best player in the NFL, best offensive player in the NFL. I think that any rational NFL fan should be under the understanding that Aaron Donald is the best player in the NFL. He dominates his position unlike anybody we've ever seen. I mean, Mean Joe Green is a guy that many consider one of the best D tackles in the history of the NFL. Even he didn't put up the numbers that Aaron Donald is putting up. But I think that's what the 49ers should do. With Trey Lance, let Garoppolo start this year. Other teams should continue to do that sort of thing. Andy Dalton versus Justin Fields is another one. Andy Dalton is not a great quarterback. He was good in Cincinnati, but he hasn't been good recently.
Andy Dalton, my God.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you can put a lot of stock into Andy Dalton in Dallas, but the Cowboys were awful anyway.
No, I'm saying that name anyway just because he was awful in Dallas.
He was not that bad in Dallas. No, you know who was bad in Dallas? The team was. The defense was bad in Dallas.
Was brutal, yeah.
Okay, he had 14 touchdowns and 8 picks. 65% completion percentage. That's not awful. It's not great, but it's not awful. Not compared to the defense, which was putting up like 2019 Chiefs-type numbers defensively, where what was Andy Dalton supposed to do? Andy Dalton could have thrown 4 touchdowns a game in Dallas and...
Bless you.
Excuse me. And the Cowboys still probably would have lost because their defense was going to give up 40.
Yeah, you can thank Mike Nolan for that.
I mean, he only started 9 games.
Dude was brutal.
And was 4-5.
As a defensive coordinator, yeah.
In those 9 games.
I don't know. Just because, well, Cowboys fans just in general were upset about last year because Dak was injured and they were somewhat winning with Dak, even though you're right, their defense was giving up a lot of points in that stretch. But no, thank God Mike Nolan's no longer the defensive coordinator. Now they hire Dan Quinn, I think is what his name is, former Atlanta Falcons coach.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, Dan Quinn. Hopefully the defense doesn't choke away a 28-3 lead anytime, during the season. But he's a defensive-rounded guy, so hopefully the defense improves there. Cowboys have a lot of expectations or thereabout because they should, quote-unquote, should win the NFC East because it's the weakest division in all of football. So, you know, honestly, the Cowboys could go 8-8-1 and win that division. It'd be so funny if the Cowboys still find a way to go 8-8 in a 17-game season.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I know.
To be honest with
as
you.
As a Cowboy fan for the majority of my life, I wouldn't put it past them either.
But yeah, it seems to be a trend that makes sense to me. And like I said, maybe it's just because I'm a Chiefs fan. But you throw in guys in their rookie year when maybe they're not quite ready. You know, in the NBA, that's a little different because there's not a lot of variables within the NBA. Basketball in itself, yes, it's got its complexities, but basketball is a pretty simple game. You know, if you've been playing the game of basketball for a long time, you reach a point where, like, mentally, you don't even have to really think about what you're doing. Your body just naturally does what is expected of you. You know, if a guy sets a back screen on you, you can decide to flare, you can decide to curl that screen, all that sort of stuff. Football, there's so much mentally you have to think about. Especially as a quarterback, as a rookie quarterback, you have about 4 months, right? The NFL draft was in April, correct? Or it was even later this year, wasn't it?
What, the NBA or NFL?
The NFL draft. Was it even later this year?
Probably was.
Because of COVID?
Yeah.
So you have, you know, it was April 29th to May 1st. So now it's late August. You have 3-4 months to learn an entire playbook as a rookie. Aside from that, you're having to work out. You're trying to get to know your teammates and develop a rhythm with your offensive line, with your wide receivers, with your coaching staff. And on top of that, you're having to learn this giant 100-page, 150-page binder
of plays.
And each play has 6 to 8 audibles and checks, offensive line adjustments, wide receiver adjustments, you know, shifts, motions, all these different things within one single play. Like, how are you? I mean, as a rookie, that's a lot to try to wrap your head around. And then you have to go out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, and you have to start and you have to play 4 quarters and let guys run at you and try to take your head clean off your body. As a rookie, as a 21, 22 year old kid, I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. Think about it. Peyton Manning is widely considered a top 5 quarterback in the history of the NFL. Peyton Manning, as a rookie, after being drafted, number 1 overall, obviously, by the Indianapolis Colts in 1998, 26 touchdowns, 28 interceptions. He had a completion percentage of 56.7%. Peyton Manning was not good as a rookie. Sub-60% completion percentage, more interceptions than he had touchdowns thrown. His interception percentage was 4.9. His touchdown percentage was 4.5. He was 3-13 as a rookie. Now, the next year, things got a little bit better. 62% completion percentage, 26 touchdowns, 15 picks. The Indianapolis Colts went from 3-13 his rookie year to 13-3. That's insane. That is absolutely insane. But that's because he had a year to learn the offense, learn the playbook, learn his offensive line, his coaching staff, learn the ins and outs of the NFL itself. And that helped him be able to have a lot more success in his second year than his first year. And, you know, maybe, yes, some of that had to do with the struggles he had as a rookie. But maybe if you would have given him a year to just sit back and learn, develop his skills, and both mentally and physically, what is that able to do for a guy? It was able to do a lot for Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes just comes out in his second year and throws 50 touchdowns and wins MVP. You know? And then in the next year, in his second year as a starter, he's a Super Bowl champion. I think NFL teams need to take a page out of that Kansas City playbook and understand that if we give the guy a year, learn the playbook, get really, really invested in the mental aspect of the game of football, because mentally, it takes so much more at the NFL level than it does at the college level. And it takes a lot at the college level. That's only going to help your franchise in the long run. Too many guys in sports today are thrown into a situation before they're ready because of their draft position. Because they were drafted in the first round or the second round, or they didn't have anybody else at that spot. And so a guy that isn't quite ready is being thrust into this spot, and it can ruin your career. It legitimately can. I think that is a big reason why Josh Rosen is now... I mean, where the hell is Josh Rosen even at? He's a backup in, like, New England now? Or he was in New England? I don't even know where that man is. He's with the Atlanta Falcons now. He was drafted by the Cardinals, and then he was with the Dolphins, and then he was with the 49ers. And it's like, how many different teams has this guy been a part of in 4 years? It just doesn't make a lot of sense, because the Dolphins were god-awful, and he was thrown into a position where he had nobody to block for him, nobody to throw to. What was he supposed to do? Tua Tagovailoa got a much better shot at that than he did. And Tua Tagovailoa sat for the first half of that season, and Ryan Fitzpatrick held that down. So even Tua Tagovailoa was given a chance to sort of relax and learn the offense before he was just thrown into something. It makes a lot of sense in my eyes to give a guy a shot to learn and get comfortable mentally, because the mental aspect of the game is so much more important than I think a lot of people realize.
Today has just gotten progressively worse.
Well, now what?
And worse. Though I guess this is just kind of something that every athlete has to go through in his time. Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina announces 2022 will be his final season with the St. Louis Cardinals and of his career.
Yep. Signing a 1-year deal.
Is it Friday yet? Have we somehow managed to shift forward to Friday? Because I'm ready for this week to be over, dude. I'm so sick of this.
Nope, just, not Friday. I hope it's not Friday because I don't have nearly enough game prep done for
that's true.
This
I
high
still,
school football
I
game
I still have
on
to
Friday.
Do my game prep, yeah.
I've done some, and you know, my color commentator for this Friday's game, the great Don Luzader. I emailed him the rosters for both teams yesterday, and he had the courtesy and the nicety, I should say, to print off several articles about the Skyline Tigers this year. I need to do some more searching. I found a couple articles about Valley Catholic, which, of course, I feel like there's probably a lot more than just a couple with how well-known the Valley Catholic football program is throughout the state. I mean, like I mentioned on the podcast this week, 15 state championships this team has.
Not bad.
I mean, that's an insane, insane number.
I'm surprised with how many state championships they've won. They haven't moved up to like class two or something.
They've sort of flip flopped.
Bounced back and
class
forth.
Class two to class one to class two to class one, sort of back and forth. And I mean, they're a private school, so their enrollment
well,
can
that
kind
makes
of
sense.
Their enrollment can kind of shift right. back and forth quite a bit. So
private school and that's a topic for another day. Private schools being able to compete in
you know, play against other athletic schools that don't have like any restrictions or anything, just public schools facing private schools. That's I have a lot of opinions on that, and that is another discussion for another day.
Yeah, so Valley Catholic has the most or the second most, depending on what article you read. I believe they have the second most state championships of any school in the state of Missouri since 1960.
That's pretty good.
And can you give me any guess as to who the other one would be?
Webb City.
Yeah, it's correct.
Shocking, I know. It's what Webb City does on a year-in, year-out basis is just, you're like, whenever I first grew up with it, you know, playing football, my like junior high year, my freshman year, which actually 7 years ago to this day was my first ever freshman football game. We were in Bolivar and we won, and my mother, for whatever reason, was there because I wasn't playing because I had a sprained ankle that I suffered during practice. Kind of a funny story. I was running to a position where they needed like an extra blocker on like punt team or whatever. And me and this guy ran at the same time, and I tripped over his foot and rolled my ankle in like six or seven different places. It felt like I felt it pop like six or seven times and sprained my ankle with that. But anyway, yeah, what Webb City does on a year in year out basis, you just kind of marvel at. You're just thinking, all right, well, they're going to come to town, get us, you know, like 49-7, 49-0, 42-7. Just we'll take our lumps and move on.
So they're tied.
Oh, tied.
They're tied. They each have 15 state championships.
Sheesh. But yeah, it's incredible. And we, as a class, got a lot of hype because we defeated them our eighth grade year. We defeated the Cardinals eighth grade year and should have beat them in ninth grade, but we had a terrible week of practice. It like rained a couple of times during that week. We had like one outdoor practice all week prepping to Webb City. And you know much as well as I do, being on the field and practicing is a hell of a lot better than, you know, doing indoor drills or walkthroughs and that kind of stuff, weather permitting. So
here's an insane thing about Webb City High School football. They've won 15 state championships since 1989.
Yeah, that's a very short time span.
15 state championships in 31 years. Which means that's about a 50% chance. Their school, since 1989, their school has had a 50% chance of winning a state championship. That's insane. That is absolutely ridiculous. Since 2000, they've won state championships 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, and 19. 2015, 2016, 2018, 2020. Four times since 2010, they haven't won a state championship. Unreal. That is unreal.
And everything top to bottom from Webb City is just fantastic. Their administrative staff, their coaching staff, obviously headlined by John Roderick. Their facilities, I mean, you go to Webb City's football stadium. I don't know if you've been there yet before, but it marvels in a small college atmosphere. It's fantastic. The facilities there are incredible. And it all works for them. And you have to have all those things to be a successful program. And what they got down there in Webb City, they've got all of it. Switching back to baseball, I, you know, complained and moaned about the Cardinals for like the first 5 to 6 minutes. So I'm not going to talk about them again, at least from yesterday. They play today, actually, in about 15, 20 minutes from when we start our podcast, recorded our podcast. Start at 12:15 Central Standard Time. Tarik Skubal will go for the Tigers. John Lester for the Cardinals. Cardinals are a favorite in this game. I'd bet against the Cardinals if I could bet money in Missouri. Anyway, last night, Royals, Astros. Royals won game one of the series. Lost game two ever last night. 4-0. They get shut out by the Astros. But the Astros are a good team. I wouldn't call this a big deal. Royals are actually playing eons over their head whenever they're competing with the Astros, because I don't know what it is, but they just need to win one more game, I believe, and they have won the season series with the Astros, and they have a chance to do that today with the first pitch being set for 1-10 today at Houston.
I think they've already won the season series.
So they took 3 out of 4.
And then they already took one in this series.
Oh, yeah, they've won, yeah.
So they've taken at least 4 out of 7 against the Astros over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, it was a 4-0 loss. Brady Singer, he allowed all 4 runs, but only one of them was earned. Nicky Lopez had a throwing error in the bottom of the first inning that scored 2 runs, and then another error in the third inning, I believe, allowed another run to score. So Brady Singer went 5 full, only allowed 1 earned run during the course of that game. So he still didn't have a terrible I would say, pitching performance. His control was a little bit off. He allowed the bases to get loaded in the bottom of the first, which kind of contributed to that two-run error that was allowed by Brady Singer. So, but yeah, they were shut out last night on four hits. Nicky Lopez was one of the only guys with a hit last night, along with Andrew Benintendi. Hunter Dozier had a hit, and Michael Taylor did as well. Ryan O'Hearn was 0-for-3 last night with two strikeouts. Salvador Perez 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. Whit Merrifield had a rare 0-for-4 night as well. And, you know, the Royals just got things, the Astros just got things going. I don't know how you pronounce his first name, Diaz, the first baseman.
Aledmys
Diaz. The third baseman, for the Astros, went 2-for-4. Correa went 2-for-4. This is going to make you happy. Altuve went 0-for-5.
Good.
Michael Brantley went 0-for-1, walked 3 times. So his plate discipline was outrageous last night. So, but they did what they had to do. They won the game 4-0 despite the Astros going 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Just an insane performance from Garcia, their starting pitcher, who went 6 2/3, only allowed 4 hits, 7 strikeouts. Stanek and Graveman came out of the bullpen and pitched a combined 2 1/3 innings. No hits allowed. Just completely shut the door on this Royals team. But I want to shift gears to something positive for Royals fans and negative for Cardinals fans. And I am alluding to...
Be a man while he's down, why don't you?
I'm sorry, but I need to make myself feel better, so I'm doing this. I am alluding to last night's Springfield Cardinals Northwest Arkansas Naturals game. At the end of the first inning, the score was 0-0. At the end of the fourth inning, the score of the game between the Northwest Arkansas Naturals and Springfield Cardinals was 18-1.
Sounds about right for Springfield Cardinals pitchers.
Northwest Arkansas went out, and at the end of the fourth inning, they scored 8 runs in the second, 5 runs in the third, 5 runs in the fourth. 18 runs on 18 hits at the end of the fourth inning. I thought for sure this was going to be like some sort of record-breaking performance. Now, Springfield Cardinals bullpen figured it out. They shut the door. The Springfield Cardinals had 5 mound visits in the first 4 innings of the game. You get 8 allotted to you maximum during a 9-inning game. They had 5 in 4 innings. Like, I thought for sure they were going to run out of mound visits. They ran 4 pitchers out in the first 4 innings of the game. It was a disastrous night from the get-go. And I was shocked because this is a Northwest Arkansas Naturals team that has been gutted recently. MJ Melendez was called up to AAA. Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Prado. So, the major hitting prospects in the Royals system and the Royals farm system have been called up to AAA. So, I don't even know who's left in the Royals AA system right now. Kyle Isbell is in AAA right now as well, another Royals top hitting prospect. So, I didn't expect this last night at all, but I just kept listening and just kept hearing home run, double, home run, triple. And I'm like, oh my God, this is never going to end.
Yeah, no offense to the Springfield Cardinals and, people that listen and watch to their games. And then again, it's a minor league, it's a developmental league. Let's be honest here. Minor leagues are for development, not for winning. The Springfield Cardinals pitching staff this year would make anybody, no matter what prospects are on any team, the 1927 Yankees. When they had the Yanks with Ruth, Gehrig, those guys. It would make them... The Cardinals do that on a night-to-night basis with any team in the AA Central. Like, I will legitimately just go down their schedule, go down their list of games, and it'll be like 18-6, 14-7, 12-2. Like you said, what was it, 18-1 last night was the final 18 score?
18-1 last night, yep. They lost, and they've now lost 6 in a row. So they lost last night 18-1. They lost on Sunday to Wichita 7-11. The night before, 0-2. The night before that, 4-6. The night before that, 6-14. And the night before that, 7-1. They are now last, of course, in the AA Central. And it's another one of those things. They've had guys get called up. Nick Plummer was just recently called up from AA to AAA.
Does he start?
He hit two home runs for them a couple of
nights. I'm
talking
about like on the mound.
Nick Plummer?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't pitch.
Exactly.
But, you know, you only scored one run last night.
Yeah.
They're now 35-62. But, I mean, if you take a look at it, the AA Central is a pretty good division. Wichita is in first place. They're 58-39. Arkansas is 52-45 in second place. Tulsa is 52-45. And the Northwest Arkansas Naturals are 50-46. And then Springfield is at 35-62. So, yeah, Cardinals fans, you can complain about, you know, the struggles within the pitching rotation. Let me assure you, you have no help coming right now.
I know.
None.
That's what's so great about it. I just looked at the stats in the AA Central. Overall, they lead in ERA, and it's not even close. Six. Six?
6.17
ERA in 97 games.
Yikes.
Oh, my God. I got to keep expanding on this. Lead the league in hits. Giving up. This is all given up, by the way. Lead the league in runs. It's not even close. 649 runs they've given up to 516, which is the second place team, which is Amarillo. They've given up the most home runs. They've hit the most batters. They're just playing like the big league Cardinals, dude.
Oh,
like, let's
man.
Be honest here. Let's be honest. Oh my gosh, this is so great. I'm so glad I'm seeing this.
If I'm the Cardinals organization in next year's MLB draft, take pitchers.
Do what
and
the
that's
Angels did.
It.
Use all 20 of your picks on pitchers.
Just draft nothing but pitchers. Okay, like it draft 20 pitchers, and maybe you can get like three or four of them into a major league spot. But like, oh my goodness, like you need help, and you need help now.
97 games, you've given up 649 runs.
That's bad.
This is incredible. I love seeing this. Oh man, that's great. That was good. That was a good laugh. Just absolutely, you know, pooping on the Cardinals, for lack of a better term. The Cardinals double A team. And like you said, the pitching, it's bad in the big leagues, and it's not going to get any better. Man. 35-62. Underachieving at all levels, minor leagues and major leagues. You know what doesn't underachieve? Would You Rather Wednesdays.
Hold on. I got to point something out.
Okay,
hold
go
on.
For
just
it.
Just real quick. Okay. So the Springfield Cardinals in 97 games have given up 649 runs. Do you know who leads Major League Baseball in earned runs allowed?
Baltimore?
Be the Baltimore Orioles. They've given up 697 runs in 124 games. Their team ERA is a 5.86. So the Springfield Cardinals have allowed more runs in 97 games than the team with the second most earned runs allowed in Major League Baseball and the Arizona Diamondbacks have in 127 games. The Springfield Cardinals have allowed eight more runs in 30 less games.
And they play less games as well, by design. Fire everyone, if anybody cares about...
Fire... You have four... The Springfield Cardinals have 14 saves on the year.
Yeah. 14. And 31 save opportunities. fire everyone. Fire Mosellock.
Fire everyone.
Fire Mike Schell. Fire Mike Maddox. Fire the athletic director. Fire the scouting director. Just clean house. Show that you care. God, I hate trying to be complacent with this team. Show care for this team when they don't do it on the field.
Is Memphis any good? The Redbirds?
I couldn't tell you. But I haven't heard anything good from them. Let's check that out here. They are... See, I'm trying to think. Yeah, they're Memphis. Don't see them on the AAA West here, so they must be AAA East. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the pitching stats here. I know this is great podcasting here. Memphis, Redbirds. Not bad. They're sixth. 4.92. That's not bad. Could be Syracuse with a 5.57 ERA.
That's true.
So, yeah, I guess that also falls into the term of where any good pitchers that the AA Cardinals did have now are up in Memphis and AAA.
Yeah, think about this. if you take a look at qualified players for the Memphis Redbirds, players that qualify, meaning they have played in at least 2.8 plate appearances per team game played. Do you know how many players qualify?
How many?
For the Memphis Redbirds? Five. Five guys on their team qualify to have stats recorded on for the Memphis Redbirds, which, meaning they were either called up to the MLB or sent down to AA, whatever, or they, you know, shifted back and forth. Five guys on their entire team have played at least 66 games for the Memphis Redbirds. Five. That's the wild part about baseball.
Yeah, baseball, wild sport. I'm ready for 2022. I'm ready for the 2022 version of all these teams because the 2021 version is garbage, hot garbage, steaming garbage, a pile of you know what. But I
dumpster
can't say
fire.
It. Dumpster fire. Thank you. One more note here before we get to Would You Rather Wednesdays. Just breaking news here: Teddy Bridgewater has been named the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Wow,
winning out the job over Drew Locke. And yeah, I got that via fantasy news, but of course that's just main news ahead of football. So yeah, Bridgewater. You know, came over from, I believe, the Panthers last year.
Yes.
May have spent some time also with New Orleans. Yeah, right before Jameis got in, he spent time with New Orleans.
He went to New Orleans after his injury.
Yeah, right.
After he, was he with the Jets, I believe, right?
When he got injured. At some point he was in Minnesota
nearly, or was it might have been Minnesota when he, like, nearly lost his leg.
Yeah. So, good for him. I hope he does well in Denver, but of course not too well because we need the... want the Chiefs to win.
I mean, that's fair, but I feel like there's a lot of Mizzou fans that are going to be upset with that news.
Oh, yeah, because, of course, Drew Locke.
Because they think Drew Locke is such a good quarterback, which he's not. I'm sorry. Ooh. I've said it for years. I mean, growing up in Missouri, so many Mizzou fans where I grew up, and they're all like, oh, Drew Locke's going to be such a good quarterback. I was like, no, he's not. I don't know what you're looking at, but he is not.
What you're looking at. All right, we need to be looking at some Would You Rather Wednesday ideas here because it is that time. It's Wednesday. It's hump day, which, of course, it means Would You Rather Wednesday. Last week, you gave me a multiple choice one, so I'm going to give you a multiple choice one this week.
Ooh, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, you can only pick one out of these four options.
Okay.
In what sport would you rather be a professional athlete in? Football, basketball, baseball, or other?
Basketball. For multiple reasons. First of all, basketball is my favorite sport. It's a sport I've been playing since I was 4 years old. I got the love of the game from my dad, and that sort of trickled down. My little brother loved the game too, but he was football was sort of his sport. He was a very, very good football player. He plays college football now. Yeah. He's 6'3", 260.
Oh yeah, he's a beast whenever I see the photos.
Yeah, I'm 5'9", 150 pounds. So obviously I don't know where he got his size from. It makes no sense. My dad's 5'10", my mom's 5'6". I'm 5'9". My sister's about 5'5". And he's 6'3". It makes zero sense whatsoever. You know, I don't know what the mailman looked like, but I mean, I guess we'll see.
You did not just make that joke.
That's the joke that we make all the time. We make that joke all the time. All the time.
I can't believe you just said that on a sports podcast. All right, go ahead, basketball.
But for multiple reasons. Basketball is my favorite sport. And, you know, we've seen recently over the last 10 years how much money just like mediocre NBA players make. You know, I mean, good Lord. Some of these NBA guys... just making stupid money for like they average like 6 points a game and they're like, yeah, we'll give you a 4-year $40 million deal.
Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso in Chicago. Timothy Mozgov when the Lakers signed him a few years ago. Chandler Parsons in Dallas.
Dude, I'm already down bad. You didn't have to point out the Mozgov.
I'm going to put you even further down bad because that was a stupid idea.
I'm going to be 6 feet under here in a second if you keep going at this.
Well, I mean, take it easy. But, you know, there's so much money to be made in the NBA. Now, like, of course, like, you have the best chances of, like, making a professional roster, I should say, in the MLB, right? You have the best chances of becoming a pro in the MLB. You have the best chances of playing at the highest level in the NFL. But to make the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time, the NBA is your best bet.
At the highest points, you might make more money, right? Like, if you're amongst the best, right? If you're a top five, top 10 player in the NFL or in the MLB, yeah, you're going to make a ton of money, i.e. Mike Trout's contract, Albert Pujols' contract, A-Rod's contract, Patrick Mahomes' contract, the contract that Josh Allen just signed with the Bills. You know, if you're at the highest level of the sport, you're going to make more money in the MLB or in the NFL. But if you are a middle of the pack, run of the mill, you know, even a bench warmer or a guy that's maybe not, and not even a starter, the second or third guy off the bench, you are a guy that's going to make, I don't know, $6 to $8 million a year, maybe more. So yeah, I would go with basketball in a heartbeat.
Yeah, for me, it'd be baseball. Like I kind of like in your realm, grew up loving baseball. It's my favorite sport of all time. And also, not to the extent of basketball, but somewhat to it, you can get paid a lot of money for not being, you know, the guy or an all-star. You can get paid a lot of money to be like a starting second baseman that'll like bat eighth, will have good speed, you know, something like that. Not to the extent, of course, of basketball, like I said.
Just
but
have to wait forever.
Sure, that's true.
I don't know what it's called. You have to have like a 6-year experience or something.
Arbitration.
Yeah.
That's true though, yeah. Yeah, that's also another flaw with baseball, but anyway, I digress. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true, but nah, I'd still go with baseball. I'd do anything right now I would completely drop everything and go play baseball at a professional level if I could. Right now, but obviously my time has come and gone.
I mean, think about this. Pete Alonso is one of the top power hitters in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
He won the Home Run Derby this year, obviously, which gives you, it's like $1 million bonus.
Yeah.
Right? It's like $1 million bonus for winning the Home Run Derby. He made more money winning the Home Run Derby in 2 hours than his salary for the season with the New York Mets because of that 6-year requirement, that arbitration that he's having to deal with as a guy that hasn't been in Major League Baseball for long. That's nuts.
Indeed. That's crazy. And I'm pretty sure he's making less money than Bobby Bonilla, but
he's currently on contract for $676,000 in 2021.
That's a lot of money, though, but like you said, not as much as, you know, you could be making in the NBA or, hell, even the NFL at that point. But no, I'd still go baseball. I love it so much. Like I said, I'd drop everything if I had the ability to just play professional baseball. Hell, if I was just a bench warmer, like if I got, say, 60 to 80 at-bats a season, started maybe 4 or 5 games, you know, replacing guys like Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt or whatever, just like filling in spots, I'd do it in a heartbeat. All right, what do you got for your Would You Rather Wednesday?
For my Would You Rather Wednesday, I have got, and this is a thought out question.
Ooh, a thought out.
You know, I just want to point out, by the way, I just to confirm here, when Pete Alonso hit 53 home runs in 2019, his contract was $555,000.
Yeah, because he was a rookie, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So.
And hit 53 home runs, 120 RBIs. Boggles my mind. So, me, myself, you know, I am an engaged person.
Congrats.
And so, looking for, like, wedding venues, we've talked, like, where we would want to go for our honeymoon, so and so forth. So, we were looking, and, you know, one place that my fiance really always wanted to go was, like, Hawaii. We've looked at, like, cruises and stuff, which I am so, so against because I get motion sick. So we're looking at places in Hawaii, and you know, I found one place that I was like really, really interested in, and it got me thinking about this Would You Rather Wednesday segment yesterday. Would you rather, you know, spend a week in a hotel underwater or in space?
Underwater. I'd go underwater. Cause I don't think like my brain could process being outside of the earth for a full week. Like, think about it. You're like in like a space shuttle hotel, and I know we're speaking fictionally here because obviously they're not going to build any hotels underwater, but I digress.
There are actually hotel rooms that are underwater Hawaii.
Oh, well, of course, Hawaii.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
And there's other ones, like there's one in Dubai and places like that.
Sure, sure. But anyway, yeah, I just couldn't process the fact that, like, I'd be out of space and just, like, have no gravity. I'd be more freaked out of anything if I went out in space and spent a week there in a hotel room. But underwater, man, that'd be so cool. Because, for one, I know I'd be safe because I'm sure I have, like, a glass panel that's, like, bulletproof, the strongest, you know, whatever and everything. No sharks or anything are going to get to me. And number two, seeing all the aquatic wildlife, like seeing all the different fishes, like you said, like I just said, sharks, whales, whatever, seeing all that, it'd be beautiful. It'd be awe-inspiring. It'd be amazing. So I'd spend a week in an underwater hotel than being out in space when there's literally nothing there in space except you looking at a picture of Earth or just like looking at Earth from an outside point of view.
Yeah, that, I mean, just the giant vacuum of space. Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm cool. And like these underwater hotels, like, it's not like they're 200-300 feet underwater.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, I mean, they're like 20-30 feet underwater.
Sure.
At best. So like you're completely submerged, but like, you know, in the event that like the glass broke or whatever, like
you could swim up.
You could theoretically swim up.
Hopefully you can swim.
Who knows what happens in that situation? I mean, things happen. But I mean, if the window broke and you were staying in space or in the stratosphere, right? If you're hundreds of thousands of feet above the ground,
oh, you're dead.
It's instantly. Game over.
Yeah,
it's absolute game over. That makes me so nervous. And I'm just looking at all these like underwater hotel rooms and things like that, and they look so cool. They look so cool. And water makes me way less nervous than space does.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we even going to space? Like,
exactly.
That makes me nervous, okay? That, you know, like, I don't, no. No, absolutely not. Stop going to space and
the thought of
go
space.
Go underwater and try to determine, because, like, I think the last I saw, like, only 6% or 7% of the world's oceans
have been
explored. Like,
let's explore that. Let's explore what we have here.
Come on, let's try to find out if the Loch Ness Monster is real, folks. Like, come on.
Let's see if we can find Atlantis.
I mean, pitter-patter, let's get at her.
That's an Iowa term.
That's a Letterkenny thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen Letterkenny. I highly recommend. If there's anybody listening to this podcast under the age of like 16, don't watch Letterkenny. yeah. I don't want you listening to what I have to say and then going and watching Letterkenny and going to your parents and say, well, these guys on this podcast said it was really good.
Yeah.
And your parents have to, like, you know, come at my neck via my Twitter messages, be like, what are you teaching my kid? Like, no, I was just, you know.
To the kids of the four listeners that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I'm old. I'm old enough. I'm 23, 24 years old. I find it funny, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not recommending that your teenage kids watch it. That's just, but it is. It's such a funny show, and I think you'd really enjoy it, Matt. So
almost,
I would recommend it.
Another thing with space is that it also makes me nervous the fact that there is just like an infinite universe out there. Like, we can't even comprehend it, and it's just out there.
Yeah.
And unless we have some incredible, not we're America, we're, you know, we're the world, we continually, you know, get better with technology and the advancements in technology. But the fact that there's just an infinite world out there, like, we could be in a different universe. There could be another Earth, which I'm sure there is. We just haven't discovered it yet.
So what you're saying is that there might be a multiverse?
Maybe. Which, it's just, like I said, mind-boggling. Like, you can't comprehend it.
Nice little Marvel tidbit.
Yeah, a little Marvel tidbit. Actually, did you see the video that I liked on Twitter earlier today? It was like the minute fight scene with Doctor Strange, I think is what his name is.
Yeah, Doctor Strange and Thanos.
Yeah, yep. That was underrated.
Oh, so good.
Not thinking about it.
So good. I found this yesterday, or maybe even this morning, about just this outrageous number here. So across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer has accumulated a total combination of more than 100 million views in just 14 hours.
Crazy.
I mean, that
I'm not one of those 100 million, by the way.
They
I haven't
just
seen
sat
it yet.
And they took so long to put the trailer out. Like, they put the Eternals trailer out before the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, and they took so long putting this trailer out, and I mean, it's
smart on their part, right? They've hyped up this movie so much because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the trailer looked so good. They've got what appears to be, right, there's some hints at possibly, like, the Sinister Six coming out, coming as a part of this. And there have been different characters included in the Sinister Six between, like, you know, like Lizard has been a part of the Sinister Six. Vulture, who was the primary villain in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
They've pointed out Green Goblin. Green Goblin was teased in the trailer, as well as Doc Ock from the original Spider-Man series with Tobey Maguire. There appears to be Electro, which is from Amazing Spider-Man. Sandman from Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire. So I don't know who else you're going to have included in that. So between those guys, you've got five. So who's going to be the sixth one? Is it going to be Mr. Negative, which is Martin Lee, which if you've ever played the Spider-Man video game on PlayStation 4, he's the primary villain in that. It could be Rhino, who is in Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, you know, there's a lot to be excited about.
You know, you talk about video games. For the first time in a long time, I'm actually addicted to a video game now.
What's that?
Like, you know, addicted in the fact of, like, you may show up a little bit late to work, you show up a little bit late to school playing it. I wasn't late to work, by the way. It's just one of those things. Like, you know, your routine is delayed because you're playing another mission on it. It's Infamous Second Son.
Mm.
Did you ever play the original Infamouses on the PlayStation 3? Or?
No, I didn't.
Oh, such a great series. I played the first two, of course, on the PlayStation 3 growing up, and really, the games itself were fantastic, but I kind of just, like, drifted off, and I thought, okay, well, Infamous 2, there were a lot of, you know, ties cut in, and, you know, it had its proper ending. Well, now, they've come out with a Second Son, which is obviously another game in another timeline, very similar to what we played in Infamous 1 and 2. And what's weird is that it was one of those games on PlayStation where you can get them for free, but I didn't download it. I just kind of glanced over, but I downloaded it recently. And, dude, it's addicting. It's so much fun.
Mm.
I love it. I'm actually going to go back. Whenever we're done with this, I have to stay here for a couple hours afterwards. I'm going to go back and rewatch the ending of Infamous 2 just to get myself caught up on things that could be going on in Infamous Second Son. So
there you go.
But no, it's about this guy that has, like, electronic abilities that can do a lot of things with electricity, like shooting it out of his hands. Oh, man, it's so cool. I love those games where it's just superhuman-like. I love it. I haven't played Spider-Man, though. Probably should try that out.
It's so good. It is. I mean, you know, I need to. You know what I need to do, Matt? Considering I am an avid, you know, movie watcher, TV show guy. I'm an avid video game player. I need to just write down, like, a bunch of video games that I would recommend that you play that you may have played, may have not played, and you need to just go in and play them so that you can come back in and you can be like, hey, man, you were right. This game's dope.
What? Actually, sometime while you're working overnight, so I should spend the shift with you and just play video games here. Or watch movies, for that matter.
I mean, that's fair.
If the internet holds up here.
Good point. I mean, apparently now we're having difficulties with the air conditioning.
Yeah. Can you feel it, by the way?
Like, oh, man.
It's so night
and
day.
It's insane. I mean, you come over here to, and anybody who's, I mean, a lot of people listening to this podcast probably haven't been in this building before.
Right.
But there is, like, this building is sort of separated in a way. There's multiple entrances to get in and out. The primary entrance isn't the one that we use for the most part. We use, like, the side entrance to get in most easily. Well, right by where our production studio is in the KWTO studio, the air conditioning has gone out. So it's, like, 80 degrees on the right side of our building here. And then as soon as you walk past those two studios and you get into the hallway by, like, the Real Country studio, over here by the Dove and the Jock studios,
our sister station,
you can feel the air conditioning, and it feels like it goes from 80 degrees to 50 degrees. Like, I go from sweating to freezing in about 4 seconds. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's the most bizarre thing. And they've got, like, fans running in those two studios because there's constantly people in there. But it's one of those things. Like, the air conditioning still isn't quite working in this studio, but it's still, like, 20 degrees cooler in this studio without air conditioning than those are. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And summer is coming to a close, but, I mean, it's still hot. I think the high today in Springfield is, like, 97. Once again, we're under a heat advisory till tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, man, thinking you were talking about Friday night football games. These games right here are the toughest ones, like the late August, early September ones when temperatures at game time are like 80 to 85, heat index at like 90 to 95, have water breaks every like 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah. It's very easy to call whenever you're in an air-conditioned press box, but playing on the field, no thank you. All right, this has been a good podcast. I've really enjoyed this. A lot better than I thought we did yesterday, or me personally.
Oh, we did fine yesterday.
You did fine. I played about, or I podcasted about as well as the Cardinals played the Tigers yesterday.
Oh,
hey-oh. Hey-oh, yeah. So what we talk about, I complained and moaned about the Cardinals for like the first 3 minutes. Then we talked some football. Sony Michel getting traded to the Rams. Trevor Lawrence going to the Jaguars.
Being announced as the starter for the Jaguars.
Starting for the Jaguars. He wasn't traded. Then we talked a little bit about Royals baseball, a little bit more football talk, and then, of course, our Would You Rather Wednesday. So
we also talked about how the Springfield Cardinals were thoroughly embarrassed on the bump yesterday.
And are historically trash. All right, Logan, we'll do it again tomorrow, and we got therapy session Thursday coming up. I'll tell you what, if the Cardinals lose again today in the fashion that they did, I'm going to reiterate my frustrations that were a therapy session Thursday a long time ago, which is a part of our intro, by the way. So be ready for that. If they don't lose, then I don't know what I'm going to talk about. So
we may have to do a couple of takes on the podcast tomorrow if the Cardinals lose. We're going to have to maybe bleep out some expletives Matthew Frizzell.
A lot of editing. A
lot of editing tomorrow. That's the beauty of pre-recording.
Yeah, that's the beauty of podcasts. And this has been the Rookie Sports Report Podcast for a Wednesday. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye.